This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is something different today, man. Thank you so much for taking the time and doing this. How's it going, Mr. Giga Shikadze? Did I say it right? Is Giga? Or how do you guys say it?
It's Giga. You know, like Giga, gigabyte. Right?
Yeah, so yeah.
Just like a Giga, yeah.
Yeah, if you ever come to Brazil, they're going to say, "What's up, Giga? What's going on,
yeah,
my man?"
Many times, yeah. A lot of times, like the Brazilians, they called my name like Giga. And then Giga. I realized that you guys have, spell Giga differently than my name. And my name is spelled in like Giga, right?
Yeah, and here we say Gigabyte. Yeah, like just the Gigabyte. Yeah, it's pretty fun. So we were just chatting because I'm in Brazil for the end of year festivities and whatever. I was asking you, you never been to Brazil. How long you been training with the master Rafael?
Oh, it's been a long time, man. It's been like almost 8 years. Yeah, so the first time I came in 2014, and that time in summer was very short time I spent in California, and that's when I met him. And then I came back in November and December, and I was helping Rafael Dos Anjos for his fight against Nate Diaz. And that was the time. That's pretty much when I did my first move here, when first real good things with Master Rafael, and that's when we started it pretty much, you know. And since then, I've been in California and been training with Master Rafael, and all my MMA career started under him, because before all I was doing was kickboxing. And karate.
Yeah. How is it? I can only imagine. I don't fight, so I do like a lazy big guy's jiu-jitsu kind of thing. But for I imagine for a professional fighter, it's pretty cool to train under Master Rafael Cordeiro, right? Because it's
very cool, of course.
Because it's not just because not considering the fact that he's one of the greatest coaches ever. He's the guy who was there with Wanderlei Silva and Mauricio Shogun in Pride and all that history. It's crazy to think about it, right? It's like Mount Rushmore of coaches, right?
We can simply say that he made the legends.
That's it. Like that. Yeah.
He's a legend for sure in this sport. He's all his achievements, just saying coach of the year multiple times. That's it. That's all we need to say. Besides this, he made the legends already, and now he's getting another legend, and he's also building the legends too, you know. So it's a pleasure, and it's all motivation. Actually, like me and him, when we train one-on-one, we have our special language too, you know. Like when he holds me, it's just something, some connection we have. It's just like... super, I don't know, like many times I told him that it's the best feeling I can get when I do something to have a meet with him and to train under him.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And as you say, like he's building some there's some legends in progress. Like I think it's fair to say you are one of them. Honestly, it's like it's a progress. You were doing like 7 fights in a row or something until you lost to Calvin Cater, right?
Yeah, inside what? UFC, seven
yeah,
fights.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty impressive, man. You got, yeah. You know, like you're in inside a place. There's just killers there. Like there's not one bad fighter in the UFC. We gotta realize that, right? And then there's inside that pool. There's levels to it too. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun, definitely.
So, what's going on? Last time you fought was in January. You're taking a good. It was a freaking war too. It was. What is the plan? You're taking a break. What's going on?
So no, honestly, like since then, I did a couple of surgeries, and once I did my last surgery, I was asking for the fight, and you know, there was some protocol that after the fight like that, I got a couple of pretty like serious injuries, which never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Then the doctor wanted me to wait, and they gave me some time, and after the time, which was May. May, they uh-huh. told me that I'm supposed to be cleared. Since then, I've been asking for the fights, you know, I've been training, I've been asking for the fights. And then I was scheduled with Sadiq Yusuf, and yeah. I did all my camp. And then before the fight, like a week or two, we heard that I'm not officially cleared. Then I had to do some other medical tests to get back to it. Then I did these tests. Then doctors wanted me to fly in different states to get clearance from and check up from other doctor. Mm. I did that as well.
Oh,
then I get the fight. Oh yeah, then I get to fight with the zombie. Then I supposed to fight in February,
mm-hmm.
and then this fight get canceled because of his shoulder injury, and now I'm in the air. Oh. And now I got a call again, and another doctor wants to have a new scan and new MRI. And all this stuff, man, like, it's been just rough, you know, like, especially mentally, because I'm the guy who fought in 24 times. And also, besides fighting four times, I had multiple fight offers and I was accepting everything. A lot of fighters did not accept to fight with me or got canceled because of some COVID restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So all this, why I'm telling you this is that I love fighting. I'm from karate and kickboxing background, which we have tournaments fighting three fights per day. So I do really love the fighting.
You like fighting, right? Exactly.
That's my thing, you know, and especially when you have a camp, one camp, two camp, three camp, and you don't have a fight. It's just like, it's not about money, you know. Money-wise, UFC take care of me very well, especially even when I did not, when my fights got canceled, I still get paid.
That's really
which
cool.
I really do appreciate all the UFC staff thinking about me. But besides this, I want to get back to in octagon and get my dream comes true, because I do really want to be a champion and I feel like I'm the one of the best. Even you mentioned the fight with Cater. I watch these fights every day. And it's funny that I learned from this fight so much. And a lot of people said a lot of crap about me and about this fight. But this fight actually is a very good fight. You know, I don't agree that the judges gave him a 50 to 45. So all rounds they gave to the Cater. I do believe that first two rounds at least is on my side. But the fight was pretty good fight, you know, to entertain.
It was a crazy, amazing fight. Yeah, but that's the type of fight you don't want to get into all the time either, right? because it's very demanding on your body during the fight and after the fight, especially, right? The recovery from a fight like that.
I'm not even
saying about losing or winning. It's just what you put your body through on a fight like that, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, they started the fight that they...
You guys like that, right?
there's a fight that I can show to my son, even I lost the fight. I can show to my son and say that, look, this is that you don't get... put your head down even till the last second, you know.
That's good.
I'm really proud of this fight as well, of myself. And I do believe that that night just was not my night, you know. I fought my fight in a different way. All my life, it's been my dream to fight for UFC title. And that week, I heard that a champion did not have an opponent. Mm. And that was my very big mistake, that all my mind from Calvin Kattar went to the championship fight, that, oh, why they not moving me? Because I was 7-0 in UFC. I was one of the big upcoming guy that was ready for title. And I was a little bit upset that why they're not moving me for title fight. But same time, I met Dana and he said that, oh, you beat this fight first or second round with knockout without injury. I'm going to get you for title next. So you are next, pretty much, he said.
Oh, and shit.
All this mentally, like, you know, I'm not young, super young. I mean, I still feel like I'm young, but I'm not super young, right? To not, I don't make usually mistakes like this. But when this happened, this moment, and when fight started, I wanted to finish the fight right away in a minute or two, because I was planning to fight for title. And all this, even if you check the fight, first 2 minutes, I was pretty much, it was one-sided fight for me. And it was very close to land my special unique kick, which would be end of the fight, I believe. And then I missed the kick and I slept. When I slept, then mentally, I was worried that, oh, I have to finish the fight somehow real soon to fight for title, instead of to facing my opponent and realizing all the damage that can cause in the fight, you know.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's fascinating, the mental side of this. It's fascinating because it can make it or break it. It's not just about technique and or styles or something like that. If you just right now, like, I'm friends, good friends with Alex Pereira, and I was in New York for his title fight against Israel Adesanya, and the stuff you hear from the backstage that was going on during the fight week, like, Adesanya was mentally fucked up for the fight. And even like that, he got like 4 rounds on Alex.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just so you can see how good this guy is. But I also think the state of mind that he was going into that fight, losing to that guy twice before, and as a dominant champion, he's fighting a guy that just came in like a year ago to the UFC, and all of that, it kind of gets to him. And you just some stuff you just can't control, like you just described that happened to you, right? Like, I say, look, my focus shift, and that's probably what cost you the fight. It's pretty crazy to think about that.
Yeah, things happen, you know. We are humans, and sometimes you cannot control everything, you know.
I mean, that's true.
You learn from the mistake. I believe when my chance will come next time, I'm not going to make this mistake no more.
Yeah, and you mentioned something that I'm very familiar with. I'm friends with a handful of fighters, and they tell me, say, look, this guy, and I would never say that publicly, of course, but he was like, hey, this guy didn't want to fight me. This other guy didn't want to fight me. This other guy didn't want to fight me. The fights were offered. I signed it. The guy never signed. It never made public. And you getting right on that area of the rankings where, like, people that are above you didn't want to fight you because you are such a dangerous fight for them. It's not worth it, kind of thing, right? Like, you're facing a lot of that, right?
Yeah, that's the same situation now I'm having, you know, like the 3-4 guys ahead who are ahead of me, they are injured. Rest of them, they have a fight coming up. Champion is moving to another lightweight champion he's going to fight. And only one guy who is ahead of me and he don't have a fight, two of them, actually, it's like Max Holloway and Arnold Allen. Rest of them are busy or injured. And Arnold Allen already refused to fight me a couple of times. And then is Max Holloway. And this is a fight I've been looking for a long time. That will be amazing fight if this happens. Imagine like the Max beat Cater. Cater won against me, and now I'm fighting with Max, and then we'll be like in some nice triangle to see what's going to happen. Yeah, who wouldn't watch this fight? And he's an amazing striker. He called himself the best boxer. I believe I'm still the best striker, and we'll see what happens, you know, if this would happen. And all the different opponents are good fights too, like whoever is in the top 10. They are all very good, and I'm excited to see. Like, even if I had a Cater rematch, that would be probably the biggest fight and biggest dream fight for me at the moment, you know. But he's injured right now. His last fight was very sad that he broke his ankle or something like that. Yeah, came up. Very, very sad situation happened.
How do you see this Volkanovski going against Makhachev
fight? Yeah, that's an interesting matchup because Volkanovski striking pretty good, which I would not say on Islam. Yeah, definitely, like, Islam improved a lot. With Charles, he looked good, but I believe Volkanovski striking is much better. And as a wrestling-wise, I think it will be very hard to keep him on the ground because he's such a short and, like, rugby guy. Like, you know, it's different body, different style guy. So I want really that Volkanovski to win because what I want in the future, I want to go get to the title contender and I want to beat Volkanovski so I can... His credit will be even higher when I beat him.
That's true.
That's my political answer on that. But we'll see what happens. It can be on a both way, you know.
Yeah, I think Volkanovski, he's like, this is my read, and I want you to tell me your read of him because it's a technical read. It's different than mine. He was a guy that I never really cared for until. Like, right? He was that guy that, like, nobody really talked to say, oh, this guy is so freaking good. Yeah. He's just good at everything. He's not great at something. Yes. He's just, right? He's the champion, and all of a sudden, nobody can beat the guy.
Yeah. I would say that he's great in one thing. And this one thing is to mix it up. So he's such a short guy, but he can... in a second, you can see him as a tall opponent because all the fighting style, fighting stance, sometimes he stands tall, sometimes he stands short, sometimes he switches the stance. He does a very nice feint, and naturally, he has a strong power when he connects the punches and kicks. So all this makes fun to watch right now. From the beginning of the career, I didn't even knew who he was and I didn't even watch his fights. But now, since he did a lot of adjustments and the way he beat Ortega, Max, and last fight only Max, not the ones before. Max, last fight, Ortega and Zombie. this is incredible. Yeah, and very nice to watch.
Yes, it's crazy. It's crazy, especially us having Aldo having fighting Max and that type of stuff with.
Oh, he beat Aldo as well, right?
Yeah. Volca beat Aldo. Well, he had to. Oh no, Aldo went down, right?
I think that was the way he got the Max fight. I think he beat Aldo, and then he got the title shot.
Yes, I don't.
First time.
Yeah, and then Aldo went down. Went down weight class. Yeah. But Max, if you watch those Aldo fights, it's great. I had Aldo on the show, and we were talking about the iconic McGregor fight, and we were talking like, so did he get into your mind? Yes or no? And others, he say like, one fight that his mind got the best of him was the Max rematch. Because he wanted to beat the guy so bad, and he wanted to avenge the first loss so bad that he was like, "Oh, I was like, I wanted to knock him out, like I wanted to rip his head off," and he lost badly on the second, especially on the rematch. And I think the Brazilians see Max Holloway like this force, right? That what they do to Aldo, nobody had done that before. Because you can argue the McGregor fight. So look. He got caught with a stronger punch, but he also, at the same time, he also landed a fucking crazy punch on. If McGregor didn't knock him out, McGregor would probably be wobbling and we never know what's going to happen. And then to see Max doing that to Aldo, and then to see Volkanovski doing that to Max, you say, holy, this guy has something, right? Yeah. I watch and I talk about fights and fighters and stuff. I'm the couch guy, you know, like that. I don't shit on the fighters, of course, because I love the sport. But I was like, that guy is okay. I mean, you know, we do that. And Volkanovski was one of the guys. You just go say, God, this guy's all right. So I bet against him on every fight I'll go against him. When he fought Ortega, I was like, God, that's it. He's done. He's done. Ortega is going to catch him. And he almost did. But you see the heart on the guy, his head exploded. That iconic picture, his head is about to explode. And he's like, gets out of the guillotine. That was a crazy fight.
I was live there. I was watching that fight. I wanted to jump right after. I remember we were sitting in the first rows, and I wanted to jump in the octagon, but I let him enjoy the night because it wouldn't be nice.
How many fights you think you have until we'll see you up there? Like you, and I think the scenario now will get a little different with Josh Emmett and Yair Rodriguez doing the crazy. So that basically puts you two extra fights away from the belt, right?
I believe two is more than enough, you know. And if I get an opponent like Max Holloway, they can always put me there.
Oh yeah, that's true.
If I fight Ortega, they can always put me there as well. It depends who are going to be my next opponent. You know, they talking about somebody from behind also because everybody's busy who was ahead. But I just want to get back. That's the main thing right now. You know, like I did gain a lot from this fight. I have so much improvement. My jiu-jitsu is coming up. I have a couple of attacks that I want to introduce to my fans, that is just let them see that what I was doing all this year, you know. And
where do you train jiu-jitsu? At Kings or you go somewhere else? Because the guys go somewhere else, right?
They go.
Some guys go to a Homolo. Some other guys.
One of those guys as well. Sometimes I go to Homolo's. But now we have Victor Silverio, who is a Romulo's student, black belt, who trains with us for MMA. And now he's doing jiu-jitsu, MMA style jiu-jitsu classes Tuesday, Thursdays morning. And that's where I train. I train again also. Ricardo Testa is the main jiu-jitsu coach at Kings.
Okay.
And in the night classes I do with him. But also, we have so many good guys. Like, in, you're always Neyman Gracie. You're always Sasquatch.
You have so Neyman there too. Neyman Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah, it's like it's so freaking good. I love Neyman. Neyman's a good friend.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's like unbelievable. We always make a fun that so that we have a sparring that we have some days with MMA sparring with small gloves. And we have some days Muay Thai sparring without takedowns.
Ooh.
And so pretty much he submits me Tuesdays and then I try to
you get back to him. That's really funny.
Yeah, to get the revenge, you know. Yeah. And Daniel Darius also, I almost forgot. And he's one of those guys that he has everything. He has jiu-jitsu. Yeah. He has, you know, like he's an amazing guy also. And great training partner.
I did a podcast with Benny, and we end up doing one of the coolest things I ever did on the show because it was organic. We start talking about every fight he had on UFC because I don't remember how we got into the conversation, but he goes like, I don't remember the fights, but if you tell me the name, I'll tell you something about that fight. I said, cool, okay. And then I went like from the first fight and he told me something that he remembered, not necessarily exactly about the fight, but he said something that he remembered about that week or that night or something like that. Yo. He was awesome. And he's a great guy. I love him. When you have like, I'm very good friends with Danilo as well. And
Yeah, Danilo also is teaching a lot too. His style of jiu-jitsu is amazing. Like, so hard to do anything with him. Yeah,
exactly. And you just see guys like that, and you have 5-6 guys that loves one guy. That there's no way that guy is it's a bad guy, right? It's like, and then I had a conversation with Benny, and I was like, oh, I know why everybody loves him so much, because it was the first time I talked to him, and you hang up the call like an hour and a half later. It's like, shit, what a nice guy. Right, he's pretty cool.
He's a super nice guy.
Look, how did you start in martial arts? How what is your like when all of this came in, and say we call it, like, when did you turn that switch on and say, all right, this is what I'm gonna do for a living? And because I think that's the hardest part for an athlete, right? You quit your day job and just leave off fighting and training.
So when the way I start the sport was my dad. When I was born, like he before he was a judo wrestler, and then he couldn't finish career and because of injuries. And then I was born. When I was born, we have even a small video like he's holding myself in hospital. And his friend is recording this big VHS video, and he's saying that, oh, here was born Giga Chikadze, like world champion in fighting and blah, 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 and good man and stuff. So then karate was very popular in my country. And in the age of 4, I started karate. And in the age of 5 was when I watched the UFC first time. 1993 it started, and Royce Gracie won the first tournament. And in karate, I was training with the gi, like Kimano, right?
Yeah.
That's when I watched him. I didn't understand a lot what was karate and what was jiu-jitsu at the time, right? But when I watched him inside the octagon against the different outfit guys he was beating, and he won it. And especially that he was a small guy and he beat the bigger guys. That was my I thought that was my future. That was myself in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I fell in love in MMA. And since then, pretty much been my dream to become a UFC champion. But then I slowly like grew up, did the karate for a long time. Then I moved to kickboxing. I moved to kickboxing, and then I lived actually in Netherlands. I don't know if you're familiar with kickboxing, but Dutch style kickboxing is like one of the greatest style. And I lived in, the Ramon Dekkers. He's like legend of Muay Thai and the kickboxing, Ramon Dekkers. And I trained under him. He was my first Dutch kickboxing coach, and in a team Golden Glory. Then I moved to Mike's gym, Boss gym. So pretty much I lived in Amsterdam 7 years in wow. Netherlands. And I trained there Dutch kickboxing. And that time I moved there because I got married when I was 18. And I karate didn't pay the money. And I thought that, okay, I have to make my living somehow. I had a kid, my daughter, pretty young age. And me, my wife, and my daughter, we moved there to live. And I was making small money from kickboxing. I was like getting paid. First fight, I got paid nothing. Second fight, I got paid 150 euros. Second wow. fight, third fight, 250 euros. And slowly, slowly, I made okay money pretty much to stay in Holland and leave it. But my dream was to not to have just a Mercedes car. My dream was to have a Lamborghinis and airplanes and okay. everything. So I realized that, okay, what I have to do, because kickboxing don't give you opportunity.
This is not getting there.
And I started to travel in 2014 because I had an opportunity to go to boxing, to start boxing career professional in Philadelphia. So there is a big name of boxer Bernard Hopkins, and he was looking for a sparring partner for his Kovalov fight, Ruslan Kovalov. And they asked me to go there, and they were offering me his team. They were offering me a management, sponsors, the fights, pretty much to change career from kickboxing to boxing. And that's how I went the first time in United States.
Like the entry-level boxing thing, do they pay a lot more than like MMA? No, right? On the entry-level, no, right?
Right now, I don't know. But I know one thing. I have a good friends of boxers who are like undefeated, like 10-0, 12-0. And these guys, I know that once you make 10-0, then you start making the money.
Oh, okay.
And slowly.
I see.
And but 10-0, they building their careers. They not mm-hmm. like after two fights, they're not jumping with the lions. The MMA yes. guys, we are different. My debut was against a very good fighter.
No, it's fight. Great. That's what I was saying. Like there's no shitty fighters in the UFC. It's like you just go to different levels. Like you're now in the top 10. You're on a cold. I had Darren Till, and Darren Till said something very speaks fluent Portuguese. It's crazy. It was wow. like funny, and he goes like, "I say, look, there's no bad fighters in UFC. Like the best in the world are there, but absolutely. When you get to the top 10, it's like, oh, it's a different level, man. It's a it different. Is, you felt that too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is a different level. I didn't know before. I was just flowing and moving forward. But once I get in top 15 and top 10, I can see the preparation is different. Mindset is different. You know, of course, every fighter is a good fighter, but there are things that, oh, this guy coming up from the big loss and he's fighting for his job. Or, oh, this guy is on the roll and he's fighting to get to title shot. Or the mindset, it's a lot of things are different in the top 10, which can direct the winning direction each way. And this is such a strong, let's say you'll see my fight from the last fight, and Cater, who was demolished by Max Holloway, mm-hmm. facing Giga, who is a new upcoming dog who's on the roll and knocking out like Cap Swanson, Barbosa, and all the big names. And now you see his mindset and suddenly my mindset, and then you see that even the last seconds of the fight, I had like orbital broken bone, nose 9 times broken, a broken hand, broken elbow, and you see that the guy don't give up till last second. So yeah. All these type of things does not happen from in the fights like preliminary card. These fights happen.
No, exactly. Yes.
Okay. You know, yeah. That's
yeah. Right. Yeah. So keep going, because I kind of cut you just on when you got to the boxing, right? Like.
Yeah. So I stayed there and was good, but that was not something I was looking for because I had such a good kicks. I thought that, okay, I have to give
a
try.
Yeah, what a shame, yeah. Right? Like, it's not, yeah, you're yeah, right. Like,
you know, the money is good, boxing is good. I see we need a lot of work, but we can do it. But then I was like, okay, let's see about MMA. And then I started continue my travel and accidentally find the last day, you know, I was in California, the last day I met Master Rafael and Benil Darius same day at Kings.
Wow.
And that day I actually was flying back to Amsterdam. And I had a sparring that day at Kings, had 5-round sparring. And after that, I don't know, we, Master and Benny, we fell in love with each other like too much.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And again, like, how do you go from being in kickboxing, almost going, I'm trying to plug my, there you go, my camera, because it's,
sure.
How do you go from going to kickboxing, then almost going to boxing, to land, did you know who Master Rafael was before you get there?
So, to be honest, at that time, when I came at Kings, I did not know. But I knew I find out later that, so I was talking to one of his students who was my friend and old teammate in Netherlands. And that was the guy who, he's Brazilian too. He was telling me, man, you should come at Kings. That was 5 years before that I actually came. Accidentally.
Wow.
He was telling me, no, you have to come. You have to come. And of course, when I look into it after and checked all the videos, then I realized that I knew who was Master Rafael.
That's why he had that big smile, right? Look at the guys he trained.
Yeah, of course I knew. But when I came and when I met him, I didn't understand that I was meeting him, actually. You know, it took me some time.
Yeah.
Oh, this fight, me and my dad watched there. Oh, this,
shit,
you know,
right?
Which was like way, way earlier.
That's crazy. I think one of the craziest moments. Look, and I had Hicks and Gracie over, and I was so nervous to talk to Hicks and too. And but I think one of the craziest moments when I had Wanderlei Silva over.
My crazy guy.
And we were watching his fights against the guy with the chains, I forgot
chains?
His name.
Oh, Rampage.
Rampage. So we were watching his fight against Rampage. And he was it was like, oh, it's been a few years, like 20 years since I watched this fight. And he was watching, he was enjoying so much and commentating and telling me what was happening at that time. I had almost like an out-of-body experience. I was like, I cannot believe I'm sitting here with Wanderlei watching Wanderlei fighting Rampage Jackson in Pride. And I was like, oh, shit. And then you could see Master Rafael there, too. And it was just crazy. It was just crazy. Like, those guys, they wrote the history of mixed martial arts. And,
yeah.
And I'm happy that you were there because you're going to be part of the new generation that comes, right?
Thank you. We'll see. Yeah, hopefully. But that's my definitely goal. You know, we'll see.
So, assuming everything goes well, when she would see you back? You say you had something with the Korean Zombie in February, right? That fell already?
Yeah, February I supposed to fight.
That,
probably,
that would be a great fight for you too, man.
I think March going to be the time they're going to give me some date, yeah. So, now they called another doctor. They wanted me to do again a new MRI, so... I'm doing 27th, I believe, in December, my next MRI, and we'll go from there. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. So look, we'll stay in touch. As soon as you have your next fight line up, maybe we'll get together for a quick chat just so we can talk about the other guy a little bit and how you're going to beat him.
Sounds good. I love it. I love it. So, also, real quick, I want to say much regards to all my Brazilian fans and friends. You know, they my dream is to come there to fight. Definitely, besides this, I'm going to come with my family for vacation. But my dream has always been to fight in Brazil. Their fans are one of the most exciting, and I'm looking forward to come one day and have fun with you guys.
Nice, nice. Oh, you know what? I put a quick box on Instagram. I always forget. People hate me because I always like, oh, send some questions, and I never do the questions. I always forget. Let me see what. Let me see. How can I get you this? Let's see this. Get the app. I don't think I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to get you the questions because I'm using my phone for the camera. But I have a couple of questions I got from my group. So, what was the biggest change? Oh, there you go. That's a good question. Matheus from the MMA Hoje group. He's what was the biggest change in your game after the Cater fight? And then how do you adapt all of that after this long without fighting and stuff?
It was a good time for me to change a lot of stuff. You know, I cannot really tell you guys now straight. I have to perform first. Emotional aspect was a big fight in this, a big moment in this fight, and I have to keep my emotions calm. That's one of the main thing, and concentrate on the actual fight. So besides strategically, also there are a lot of stuff that I always try to knock the people out with one punch, which is or one kick, so which from now we're gonna do a little bit like more preparation before the hard shots, which I've been doing, and it's been a lot of fun. So
nice. The other question was about the fight against the Korean Zombie. We talked about that fight. It's already out. William LGZ is asking, how are the training with Coach Barry Robinson, and how much that helped on your game?
Coach who? Barry Robinson?
Barry Robinson, yeah.
It's great. Yeah, he's one of my the guru guy, you know. We talked today as well. He's a very good friend of mine since Netherlands, since 2009 or 10. And he lives actually now in Georgia. It's crazy.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
He's American. We met in Netherlands. We lived there in the same room before a long time ago. Now he lives in Georgia. And we always talk about the fights, and his mindset is great. He analyzes very well the fights, and a very good friend of mine. And I'm blessed to have his side, him as my for my side, you know. So
nice.
It's always fun. Always fun. I'm going to post some videos, me and him training in 2009. And it's a lot of fun. We play, and it's like a very good feeling.
No, that's awesome. Look, I was trying one more time on the Instagram. I cannot see the questions from the computer. I gotta get the app. So we'll skip that.
No problem.
We'll leave it for the next time. Look, again, the best possible recovery, or just the final battery of MRIs and stuff like that. Everything's gonna go well. And as soon as we hear something, we'll get together again and we'll talk about that fight. I text you on Instagram and I say, look, I'm a big fan. You do have a lot of fans in Brazil. Some guys got a little upset that you beat Edson Barboza. That was our Giga Chikadze guy, you know. But look, life goes on, and all the best for you, my friend. Thank you very much for the time and for taking the time to do this. And I hope we'll stay in touch.
And
we'll
I appreciate your time as well and the interest. And again, hi to all my fans. Sorry for upsetting on that. But that's a sport, you know. I love Edson Barboza. He's an amazing style fighter. I've been watching for his fight for a long time before I moved to UFC, because he's one of the guy who go from Muay Thai and kickboxing to MMA in a big league. So
yeah,
there is nothing to being said, because he's a great guy, great, pretty much legend in MMA. And what he's done, it's every fighter's dream. So much regards to him as well. All right, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much, my brother.
Take care.
Take care.